Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I want to preach this morning on the fact that I know things are dark, but it's a great day to be alive. It's a great time to be serving God. I hit that theme a couple of times late in the fall. I want to come back to it here this morning. I know it's winter time. I know we here in the Upper Peninsula, we get snow like most of the nation doesn't even know exists. They just know it on postcards and Christmas cards and that kind of thing. We spend a lot of time shoveling and blowing snow and buzzing wood and just kind of making it through life. Sometimes it can get a little bit discouraging because things don't always go right. And sometimes it's always uphill. And we're in the midst of a broken people, and we are one as well. We're all broken people. We're a fallen race. That's why we need the Savior. And I want to encourage you this morning, as dark as the day is, this is a great day to be alive and serving God. Paul went through some difficulties, just like you go through difficulties, and I would say his difficulties were greater. There were people that wanted him dead. They wanted him out of the way. The Judaizers wanted him smashed. I mean, they wanted him gone. People had taken a vow to kill him. The Apostle Paul knew what it was to suffer dark days. But here's the great promise of God. And the angel of the Lord gives it to Paul in Acts in chapter 18 when we get there in a moment. Man, we're not alone. And God has not forgotten us. I'm going to read a lot of verses. I'm going to more than I normally read, and I'm going to read fast. Please, if you would follow along, and when the Lord tells me and when he leads me, and I've got a lot I want to say about every verse, but I'm not going to do that. And I'll pause for a moment and preach just a little bit. And really, my three-point outline, I'm not going to get to until the end of the message. The majority of this message is setting up what God would have for us here this morning. Verse 1 of chapter 17, I'll summarize some of this. It says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So he spent just about a month, depending on where exactly it started, and he spent those days in the synagogues, preaching and teaching Jesus Christ, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. The Apostle Paul was a gospel preacher. The Apostle Paul was a Bible preacher. He was what you and I call a Bible thumper. He was someone who preached the living God, that Jesus is the very Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, that he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the promised one. And he came to this earth with a purpose in mind, to present himself a sacrifice, that he might make propitiation for our sin, the blood atonement, that we might have forgiveness. You see, there's hope in the dark world in which we live. No matter how difficult it gets, we have a Savior, and he's not a dead God. He is a living God. After he was crucified, after he shed his blood and he dismissed his spirit, after 3 days, he conquered death. He conquered the grave. He got up from the grave. And then later he ascended on up into heaven. He gave promises to the people of God. He said, I'm going to go home to my Father, and after I leave, I'm going to send the Comforter. I am going to send the Helper. He will be the energizer of the church. He will seal you. He will baptize you into the family of God, spiritually speaking. And he will seal you, and he will enable you in the work of the ministry. This is a great day to be alive. I know things are difficult. I know many churches are has-beens. My fear is that Fundamental Baptist Church would one day lose its vision, lose its purpose for being here, and just get acclimated to the culture and then the second and third generation Christianity, quote unquote, that comes along, just kind of takes everything for granted. Our young people do not need to be born with a silver spoon in their mouth. As a matter of fact, let's give them a plastic fork, all right? They don't need everything given to them, everything provided for them, every battle fought for them. They're going to fall flat on their face when they get out in the world, unless we prepare them for life, prepare that next generation. And that's going to come by a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, where they walk with God and suffer like you suffered, and grow in grace and find out that God answers prayers and God builds their faith. Well, that's what was going on here in Acts in chapter 17. And people, verse 5, they were upset with Paul. The Jews believed not, moved with envy, and took unto them certain lewd fellows, verse 5, fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city in an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason. And man, there was persecution going on all of the time. Verse 10 says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. See, that was his pattern. That's what he did. Look for a pulpit. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So wouldn't that be great if that happened here at Fundamental Baptist Church? It was Charles Spurgeon that said, I will have considered my ministry a complete success if I could just get my people to read the Holy Scriptures every day. You don't need to be spoon-fed everything from this pulpit. I might shock you with this, but those two guys right there don't know everything. This will really shock some of you. I don't know everything. But God the Holy Spirit does. And we got a book that God wrote a book, and he put it in our hands. And if you would study it for yourself and read it for yourself, and don't go at it like this. I think I alluded to this early. What do you think the Bible says? That doesn't matter what I think. What does the Bible say? That's it. Period. What does God want? So you take it in context, you read it in context, you learn the word of God. These believers at Berea, they searched the scriptures daily to find that whether those things were so. They didn't just believe the apostle Paul because he said he was the apostle to the Gentile. That wasn't what was going on. They searched the scriptures for themselves. You know, Fundamental Baptist Church, as strong as it is, and I don't believe we're a strong church, not in our own strength. How strong could we be if we really became Bible students individually? You say, aren't you afraid that I'm going to go off in some false doctrine? No, sir. Not if the Holy Spirit is your teacher. If you've got the same Holy Spirit that I have in me, the same Holy Spirit that inspired the Word of God, he's going to teach you the same things that he teaches me. Just make sure you study it to rightly divide the Word of truth. It's doctrine. It's good. It's exactly what we need in this world in which we live. I'm a pretty positive guy. I understand Bible doctrine. I know how it's all going to end, no matter how tough it gets between now and then. And I also know, by way of experience and the promise of Scripture, that God is going to take care of me. As long as I'm in the middle of God's will for my life, he's going to meet my every need, food and raiment. Man, he's going to take care of me. So I'm okay with what's going on all around us. Not condoning anything, not okay with any sin, but I understand. Let's read on here. I want to get to a single verse. Verse 12 says, therefore many of them believed, and also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. And when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached, some people don't like the Bible, that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. I don't know if I said this already. This is a Bible-centric ministry. This is Christ Church. The only authority we have is God's book. And everything and anything that we do is going to be centered in the Word of God. Even the church house. You know, what's the center of our worship? The Bible. We don't worship the Bible. It's God's book. We understand God gave it to us, and it's infallible and verbally and plenary inspired, but it isn't an altar or a candle somewhere. It's the Bible. This is a Bible-centric ministry. Here's what I wanted to say. Next step. We are not a music-centered ministry. I got to tell you, that's weak. That is weak because there's all kinds of music out there. It teaches all kinds of false doctrine, and it's frothy and it's shallow. We are a Bible-centric ministry. And may God bless in such a way that it's always going to be that way. Verse 16, let's skip on down there. Now, here's the deal. Timotheus and Silas were brought unto Athens. Let me read verse 15. It says, "And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for us to come to him with all speed, they departed." So Paul is already in Athens. Now he's ahead of his team, if I could put it that way. The young men that he's mentoring, those that he's ministering to. So here's Timotheus and here's Silas, and Paul is ahead of the game, and that by the hand of God, and he's there in Athens. But look what it says in verse 16. "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens," he couldn't just sit around and do nothing. There in the city of Athens, an idolatrous city, he's waiting for Silas and Timotheus. He said, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him," shocked, excited, burdened, "when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." Idols were everywhere. "Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him." A philosopher named Petronius of Paul's day said it was easier to find a god in Athens than a man. There were idols everywhere. America, right now today, is a nation of idolatry. In every direction. It's philosophies. It's science, falsely so-called, pseudoscience. It's ideas. It's clothing. It's music. It's sport. All kinds of idols, taking up all kinds of time. I researched just this last week and found this, that the United States, missiologists say this, that the United States is now the third largest mission field in the world, second only to India and China. Do you understand that 67.7% of the population of America, almost 7 out of 10 people, no longer attend church of any kind. Of any kind. You and I like to think we're a Christian nation. We have a Christian foundation. God's hand has been in this nation right from the beginning. But the truth is, this has become a very secular culture in which we live. I think you can trace it back to 1962 when the Bible and prayer was taken out of the public schools, the government schools. You can actually go back before that. We've had Great Awakening and Second Great Awakening, but man, what's happening today in the 21st century? We have become a secularized nation. The truth is, Chippewa County, only less than 20% of the population of this county in which we live claims any kind of religious affiliation. We live in an idolatrous nation. And the clothing industry, $12 billion are spent a year to keep up with fashion. $1,700 per family just to keep up with the fads. The sporting industry, fans spent $25.4 billion last year and another $35 billion on gear because you got to have the uniform. You know, all this money sacrificed to a god, along with sporting. $400 billion is spent a year on gambling and sports. 22.2 million visits to the ESPN website every day. I wonder if 22.2 million people read their Bible. We're a nation given to idolatry. Pornography, the lowest figure I could find was 37.7% of the internet is a porn site. The highest, many believe, is well over 70%. 100 million visitors per day to porn sites. We have addictions. Some follow philosophies and education. And the truth is, we're an idolatrous nation. Go back to verse 18. In the context, here's the Apostle Paul. He's waiting in Athens. Silas and Timotheus are going to arrive soon. But Paul's looking around everywhere he looks, on every corner and in between the corners and in every direction, he sees an idol. He sees another idol. There's an idol over here. There's an idol there. And it's just like there's false gods everywhere. And it read in verse 18, says, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans, by the way, this was a school of atheistic materialness. They were pleasure-centric. Sounds like America. And of the Stoics were pompous, lofty fatalists. They were pantheists. Sounds like America, encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? Now that implies that Paul's preaching already. Others, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, and that's the place, the highest court, and the place where great debates were held in the land, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest, and thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. These are things we've never heard before. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. I couldn't help but think, I wrote Facebook right there in my Bible. I know that's you just got to know what's going on in everybody else's life. Some of us spend our whole God-given life arguing man-made religion and positions. And in the meantime, our neighbor dies and goes to the devil's hell. We're no different than the people of Athens. Paul's looking for a pulpit here. He's going to give it to him here in just a moment. Verse 22 says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar which, with this inscription, to the unknown God. Paul said, there's my pulpit. I'm going to tell you about the unknown God. I'm going to tell you about monotheism. I'm going to tell you about the fact that there is only one, capital G, God. There aren't gods. There's one Jehovah God. I'll not read all of his sermon here, but he says he's creator. He is the sustainer of life. He sent his son, God the Son, who died on Mount Calvary and shed his blood that we might have forgiveness of sins. And here's the best part. He's alive. He didn't stay in the grave. He's a living God. And he cares. The Apostle Paul there in the city of Athens looked around and he saw all these idols and all this idolatry and the secular society and nobody having any anchors. Nobody having any kind of, they had no kind of moral compass. And his heart was moved within him. He said, man, somebody's got to care. It's 2017. Somebody's got to care. They got to care about your neighbor down the road. They got to care about the clerk, the girl or the man that checks your groceries there at the checkout counter. Someone's got to care about the guy that works in the service station or the businessman, the contractor, the housewife. Somebody's got to care about the little boys and the little girls, those that don't yet know of Christ. And if somebody doesn't get burdened like the Apostle Paul, he was burdened. And stand up and tell them of the living God. Man, they're going to live their life and die and go to the devil's hell. And that's not what God desires. Some difficult things. Paul says in verse 24, the God that I'm preaching is the God that made the world and all things therein. Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, he dwelleth not in temples made with hands. By the way, you look pretty silly carrying your God. You look pretty silly having to defend your God all of the time. And by the way, God is God. All I do is follow him. He says, speak, I speak. He says, shut up, I shut up. He says, do this, dress this way, look this way, I'm going to do it. And God's people have always been different than the culture. Always. That is Bible doctrine. You may not like it, but that is Bible doctrine. Not talking about money, not talking about quality of clothing. I'm just talking about being different than the world. That's another message. I wanted to go in on that, but I'm not going to go that way. You know, there's several reasons for clothing. One is a distinction of the sexes. Another is modesty, a covering. And then third is protection from the elements. That's a whole other message, though. I'm not going there this morning. But I threw that out there for some of you preachers that preach in the prison, preach different places. There's an opportunity for you. Verse 24, he says, I want to preach the one God. Verse 25, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. You don't need to worship a man-made God and a man-made philosophy. Man, we worship the living God. We've got the truth. We honor God. This church house isn't the house of God. This isn't the temple of God. We are the temple of God. He lives within us. That's New Testament teaching. This is just a meeting house. This is where we come to hear the word of God. We hear of Jesus. We fellowship. Hey, we laugh here. We cry here. There's tears. There's good times. We're built up in the faith. We hear good Bible doctrine. We grow in grace. We encourage one another and excite one another to the glory of God. There's a whole lot here that needs to be preached, but I'm quickly running out of time. In fact, I'm already over time. Verse 30, he says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. No excuse. No excuse for ignorance. No excuse for lack of discernment. Repent. We've got the whole book. We got the 66 books that make up the canon of the Word of God. We'll never stand before God at the bema seat of Christ and be able to say, I didn't know. How many days have you been alive here on this earth? Man, we've got to get in the book. I think I told you a couple of weeks ago, for a slow reader, 72 hours you can read through the whole Old Testament. To read the Bible at pulpit rate, it's 52 hours for the Old Testament. It's 18 hours for the New Testament. You read four chapters a day, you'll get through the whole Bible in a year. Man, get in the book. You're not going to be able to tell God, well, I didn't really understand that part. Oh, really? Didn't I have my teacher living within you? Didn't you have the Holy Spirit? And there's no excuse for ignorance. In times past, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. I got to get ahead to chapter 18 and verse 10, all right? Chapter 18, he goes to Corinth. There he's preaching the word of God. Again, someone has to care. Someone has to, and there he is. He's reasoning in the synagogues again. And when Silas and Timotheus, verse 5, were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. That's a mouthful. That Christ is a title. He's Messiah. He is the promised one. He is the Savior. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And when they oppose themselves, and people do that, they fight against truth, they fight against themselves, and that's what happens when you fight against the truth. You're really destroying yourselves. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From henceforth I'll go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, God believed on the Lord with all his house. Great results. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Okay, everything I said up to this point has been the introduction. Now I'm going to make three simple points in a moment. In a moment. Don't miss one of them. It's a two-fisted fight that we are in spiritually. Don't desert the ship. Don't give up on the old-time religion. You'll become a statistic. I grieve when those things happen. I grieve when people turn their back on Bible doctrine for something else. It's become an idol. I'm telling you it's wrong. Don't leave the old ship Zion. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What a promise. You stay with the old ship Zion. The sails may be torn and the hull may be battered, but we will sail safely into heaven's harbor. And now you've heard me say this before. It's not a cruise ship. It's a battleship. Smell the gunpowder? It's a battleship. It's a two-fisted fight against the forces of darkness and the devil. Fundamental Baptist Church is positioned and poised for, in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of this world, greatness. We are to fight back the darkness. We are to be the light. We're to allow Jesus Christ to shine through us and be that lighthouse that we are called of God to be in the culture in which we live. Think about the eastern end of the Upper Peninsula. Man, we got to be a hospital. We need to bind up the wounds of the wounded. We need to, before that, be a birthing place and bring people into the family of God. We need to send forth missionaries. We need to observe the two ordinances of the church, baptism and the Lord's table. We need to honor God by preaching faithfully the whole counsel of God. Paul was in a fight. In fact, later on, he says in the church of Corinth, we're considered the offscouring of the world. When he writes his final letter, the book of 2 Timothy, he says to Timothy, man, you remember Demas? He's gone. Names two other men, they're gone. They've gone back to the world. Paul was facing the blade of the executioner. He understood he was in a fight. God gave the apostle Paul a great promise. Look what it says here in verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in a night vision, in the night by a vision, be not afraid to speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, the presence of God. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee, the promise of God, for I have much people in this city. Some of those people weren't even born again yet. I got my little preacher outline here. It's 3 points. They all start with the letter P. The presence of God, the promise of God, and the purpose of man. God says to the Apostle Paul, don't hold your peace. Be bold. Be courageous. Speak and preach the gospel. I'm with you. No one's going to hurt you. There are many people in this city that need to yet be reached. What a great God we serve. So it's the year 2017. Days are dark. They're not too dark. I opened my Bible this morning. In fact, it isn't dark at all. I walk in the presence of God. He said, I'm with you. I have the promise of God. As long as you're in the center of my will for your life, no man will hurt you. And if they do hurt you, that was my will. So you don't got to sweat it. And there's a purpose. We got to reach souls. We need to stay faithful. Whole years in front of us. Just a few weeks have gone by. We need to teach. We need to share. We need to preach. We need to lift high the name of Christ. We need to tell everybody that enters into our little sphere of life all about Jesus. We need to point people to the cross. I need to grow in grace every single day. I need to get in this book, and I need to study, and I need to read. Some of you just a week ago said, man, I'm going to read 4 chapters a day. And you came to the altar, and you made a decision for God. And some of you already gave up on that. Some of you just agreed with what was preached, and you kind of nodded your head and said, hey, amen, I know, that's what I need to do. That's it. But you didn't even open your Bible last week. It's a wonder to me that God even blesses. Let's be committed to this book. Let's become Bible students. It's not enough to know about the Bible. We need to know the Bible. It's not enough to know about Christ. We need to know Christ. Walk with Him.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.